Welcome to episode 8 of KC's Lenten podcast, Into the Wilderness. If you are joining us for the first time or need a refresher on what this podcast is all about, I'd encourage you to check out the first episode of this series titled Into the Wilderness, Lenten podcast intro, and then join us back here after you're done. Let's begin. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still, small voice. Open us to change and growth as we seek to walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 4, verses 8 to 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Today, we continue to look at Jesus' third temptation in the wilderness. As a reminder, Scripture tells us that Satan takes Jesus to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. He says to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Satan knows that should Jesus follow through on the Father's plans, he will be defeated, and Jesus will take his seat at the right hand of the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he attempts to divert Jesus' plan by offering him a shortcut to his future reign. He promises Jesus the power without the cross, but there's just one caveat. It will require his allegiance, his worship. Jesus responds resolutely by saying, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, Satan's suggestion is a crafty one, because the truth is that as humans, we are worshipers by design. God has hardwired us with passions and longings in our own hearts that are meant to find their ultimate expression in him. So Satan's trying to tap into what already exists within the human heart. He's seeking to lead Jesus into sin and disobedience by tempting him to direct the passions and affection inherent in his own heart away from the Father and towards him instead. Jesus, I'll give you everything, just one tiny thing. Worship me instead. Again, Jesus would not be dissuaded. In his humanity, he sets a powerful pattern for his people. Jesus, being fully man and fully God, would not be convinced to direct his affection and love to anything or anyone apart from God. As we've said before, Jesus walks this wilderness journey in the way you and I cannot. He does so in perfect obedience, with singular focus to offer himself again and again to his heavenly Father. See, we were created to be worshipers of God, but the sin in our own hearts, the waywardness of our own souls, compels us to worship idols of our own making, love, money, power, and success. Counterfeit gods that are not in and of themselves inherently evil are good things to be enjoyed in proper order, but will never satisfy the eternal longings of our own hearts. And the amazing thing is that Jesus wasn't content to leave us in our own sin, so he came. And he didn't come to gain the world for himself, he came to reconcile the world to himself. To raise up a people who are so undone by the love and grace of God that worship becomes the natural overflow of their lives. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets with the woman at the well. A woman in the middle of her very own little desert wilderness. She's been seeking fulfillment in the things of this world, burning through one relationship after another, hoping that this one will be the one that satisfies. And Jesus, referring to the spiritual longing of her own heart, says, If you knew who I was, you'd ask me and I would give you living water. I would fulfill the eternal longings of your heart. And she's excited. This sounds like the deal of a lifetime. "Give me this living water," she says. But for the woman at the well to drink fully of Jesus, she would need to stop dipping her jug in the wells of the world. It would require her to lay down the idols of her own making and worship the Messiah instead, but not in the way she had imagined. See, Jesus had come to raise up worshipers who would worship God in spirit and in truth. See, after Jesus died and ascended to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit as the advocate to take up residence in every believer, to wake up sleepy souls, to make us alive in Christ, to wake us up to the splendor and beauty of God. And the natural response to God when confronted with who he is worship. Worship is always the rightful response to the revelation of Jesus. See, our worship doesn't come by way of gritting our teeth and resolving to love God more. Our worship comes by way of the Holy Spirit constantly bearing witness to our own spirits about the glory of God, whispering into the caverns of our own souls, "This is who he is, and this is who you are in him." See, Jesus is truth. And his presence in our lives, by way of his Holy Spirit, is always seeking to bring darkness into light, to reveal what's truly there. So yes, that we might see him more clearly, but also so that we might see ourselves. And he doesn't do so to condemn us, but to free us. Jesus pushes up against the idols in our own hearts because he will not have us going about believing that the lesser forms of love in our own lives are the real thing, insistent that just one more promotion, one more relationship, one more thing is going to satisfy the passions and longings in our own heart. And we need to know that he does so motivated by love. He came to bring us out from under the rule of the idols of our own hearts, and we're called to worship him and serve him only because he is the only one who satisfies, and it's in serving him that true freedom is found. So what is our response? Like me, you're probably aware of the idols of your own heart that Jesus is graciously putting his finger on. And Lent is a time of repentance, but it's also a time of renewal. It's a time to confess the things we're worshiping apart from God, but it's also a time to renew our affections for the Lord. Not by gritting our teeth, but by getting close to the flame of God's Spirit and staying there. Allowing him to bear witness to our own spirits, becoming undone by the truth of his love, grace, and power, so that worship becomes the natural overflow of our lives. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 26. "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." I will now lead you through a period of contemplation, pausing often for your own personal time with the Lord. So pay attention to any words, thoughts, or images the Holy Spirit reveals to you in this time. Lord, what lesser forms of love am I believing are the real thing? What tensions in my life are actually you placing your finger on the things I'm worshiping instead of you? I thank you that you do so in love, and I confess them to you now. Lord, how are you calling me to remain close to the flame of your Spirit in this season, allowing him to stir my affection for you in my own heart? Speak it to me now. Ezekiel 36, verses 24 to 26. "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36 says that God takes our hearts of stone and replaces them with hearts of flesh, open and responsive to Him, the truth of who He is and who we are in Him. Spend time in prayer now, asking the Holy Spirit to renew you, making you alive to Jesus and stirring your affection for Him. You can pray your own prayer, or I will lead you through one in a moment. The following is adapted from the Book of Puritan Prayers, The Valley of Vision. Glorious God, it is the flame of my life to worship you, the crown and glory of my soul to adore you, heavenly pleasure to approach you. Give me power by your Spirit to help me worship now, that I may forget the world, be brought into fullness of life, be refreshed, comforted, blessed. Give me knowledge of your goodness, that I might not be overawed by your greatness. Give me Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, that I might not be terrified, but be drawn near with filial love, with holy boldness. He is my mediator, brother, interpreter, branch, judge, lamb. Him I glorify, in him I am sent on high. Crowns to give, I have none, but what you have given, I return, content to feel that everything is mine when it's yours, and the more fully mine when I have yielded it to you. Let me live wholly to my Savior, free from distractions, from burdensome care, from hindrances to the pursuit of the narrow way. I am pardoned through the blood of Jesus. Give me a new sense of it. Continue to pardon me by it. May I come every day to the fountain, and every day be washed anew, that I may worship you always in spirit and truth. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this time together. We give it to you as a Lenten offering, a gift of ourselves. We thank you for being with us, for speaking to our hearts, strengthening our faith, and reminding us that we are not alone in this journey. You led us here in grace. We ask that the transformation begun in us will continue. Amen.